Well, if you have a Bible, you can open to Leviticus chapter 13. The text is printed that we're going to look at in particular here on the next page of the bulletin, or there are some Bibles available on the table in the back if you'd like one. We're going to look at really what's going on in all of chapters 13 and 14 this morning. We're not going to look at every detail. We are talking about the general theme of these chapters is the uncleanness of leprosy. So thanks for showing up for this. The leprosy that's described here in these chapters is not exactly what we call leprosy today, which refers to a specific bacterial contagious infection we call Hansen's disease. It's not really that. I mean, it might include that, but it's not limited to that for sure. So leprosy here in Leviticus can have various causes. It can come from severe burns. It can be like a boil or a rash or psoriasis, different things. It's when something goes wrong with what's covering your flesh. That's the skin of your flesh. So whether that's whether what's covering your flesh is actually your skin, or even clothing or a house, actually, these are things that Leviticus addresses here. And so it's not every kind of skin blemish that qualifies as leprosy here, you know. You might have a rash that doesn't make you unclean. That's addressed here. You can have problems with your skin. It doesn't make you unclean. But you have to go to the priest so that he can make that judgment. So what makes you unclean is primarily what you get from these chapters is when the flesh visibly erupts from the skin. So when the flesh breaks out, it's no longer contained, and the problem spreads. And if the thought of that is making you queasy, as it does me, then that's understandable. Because honestly, on a physical level, it's kind of gross. I mean, it's kind of the point. it's repulsive. The flesh needs to be covered up. It should be on the inside. It should be covered up when it is exposed. When the flesh is exposed, people instinctively recoil and withdraw in disgust. So the physical condition being described here, it's a pretty good picture of our spiritual blight. In our sin nature, we're rotten on the inside, and that rot spreads. And spiritually speaking, our flesh is repulsive. We need it to be covered, properly clothed, if we're going to draw near to God's holy presence, the place where all the effects of sin and the curse are eradicated. They're not welcome in God's presence. So we need God to heal us inside and out, body and soul. We need the cleansing touch of Jesus. We need the Spirit to clothe us in the righteousness and the life of Christ. So that's what we'll talk about this morning from these chapters. In the bulletins, you know, I've printed some of the verses that we're going to look at, and I've made some changes. You can read about those in the footnotes. Changes in translation from the ESV, just to draw our attention to the repeated usage of some of the basic words here. So anyway, let's pray, then we'll read the scripture. Father, your word is good and right and pure, clean. And your word cleanses us, it changes us. So we pray that you'd help us to know your word and therefore to know you. Help us to find our life in your Son as we consider your word together now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus 13, starting in verse 1. Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a person has on the skin of his flesh a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it is a touch of leprosy on the skin of his flesh, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of the sons of the priests. And the priest shall examine the touch of the skin of his flesh. And if the hair in the touch has turned white and the touch appears to be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a touch of leprosy. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean." Down in verse 14, "When living flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean." Down in verse 45, "The leprous person who has the touch shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the touch. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." And down at the end of those chapters, This is the law for any touch of leprosy, for an itch, for leprosy in a garment or in a house, and for a swelling or an eruption or a spot, to show when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law for leprosy. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So if you read all the way through both these chapters, you'll find the Hebrew word for flesh 18 times. So flesh is prominent here. It's prominent, really. It's a prominent and meaningful term throughout the Bible. So, as we've been doing with these particular chapters in Leviticus, we just kind of rewind all the way back to the beginning. So in Genesis 2, after God created the first man from the dust of the ground, in order to create the woman, God put the man into a deep, death-like sleep. He pierced his side, took one of his ribs, and closed up its place with flesh. That's the first occurrence of that word flesh in the Bible, and it represents something significant, clearly. It's an internal part of the man. It's an important part of the man. It's a substantial aspect of the man. Right? So flesh is what you're made of. Flesh is who you are. And that word is used again just two verses later in Genesis 2 after God had made the woman from the man's rib, brought her to the man. The first recorded words of the man are the words of a love song. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So God made the woman from the very stuff of the man. The very substance of the man. What made him who he is now makes her who she is. And this shared substance, this flesh, shared flesh, is the foundation for their relational connection, for their marital union. Genesis 2, again, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So flesh means something more than just meat. It means something more than just the soft tissues of your body. It means something more than just what makes you up as a physical creature. Becoming one flesh is more than a reference to the physical union in marriage. The physical oneness of flesh represents this broader relational union. Whole lives coming together, right? Being one flesh, the man with his wife, means they're one in their whole life together. Being one flesh means being united in love at the level of your substance, at the level of what makes you who you are. And at this point in the history of humanity, the flesh of the man and the woman was cause for celebration and not for shame. It's cause for celebration and not for shame. Their substance, their nature, their identity. At the deepest level on the inside, who they were was nothing to be ashamed of. That's what the scripture says. There's nothing wrong with their flesh, their inner person. So to know and be known in the flesh, fully, intimately, that was cause for rejoicing. That was cause for singing. That's what happened. And that was good. That was right. Complete transparency was completely wonderful. There's no reason to hide their true selves, to cover up their own flesh, because who they were, body and soul, all the way down, was good. Until they sinned against God and violated their own good nature. Right, so when the man and woman ate the forbidden fruit together, they came to feel shame at their nakedness and felt the need to hide it, to hide themselves, to hide their flesh, hide who they were. Now there's something wrong with them on the inside, something wrong with who they were. And that wrongness, that corruption includes the physical, but it goes beyond the physical. It's something wrong with our whole substance, our whole nature, mentally, emotionally, relationally, socially, you know, especially with regard to our relationship with God. That deep down inner wrongness in who we are, now it needs to be covered. So the man and the woman sewed fig leaves together, made for themselves loincloths to cover their flesh. And it was an instinctive move, but it was an insufficient one. God would provide the true covering for their sinful flesh. That's pictured right there in the garden, Genesis 3. Yahweh God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. So like a father providing clothing for his children and helping them to get dressed. Garments of skins to cover the deep down wrongness of their substance, their flesh. Here in Leviticus, skin is like a garment. And garments are like skin. Clothing covering for the flesh. Right? So when the clothing wears out, when the clothing breaks down and the flesh breaks out through its covering, that's not good. Leprosy here in Leviticus is a physical reminder. It's this tangible, visible reminder that there's something wrong with us on the inside. At the deepest level of who we are, the very stuff we're made of, our substance, not just the soft tissues in our bodies. Leprosy here, it's almost like a sacrament. It's almost like a sign, a symbol of our spiritual corruption manifested in our bodies. And even in the world around us, right? In the clothing, in the houses. Those are things that can get this leprosy, this touch of leprosy. So it's a sign of the spreading rot and ruin, the disintegration and death that we've brought into the world through our sin. Leprosy was sometimes a direct punishment for personal sins of the individual. Like, you know, so like in Exodus, you got the Egyptians refusing to listen to God's word, and so he gives them this plague of boils. Or Numbers chapter 12, in the case of Miriam, when she spoke out against Moses, and God's anger was kindled, and she became leprous. Or in the case of King Uzziah, in his sinful pride, and it says that God touched him, and he became a leper. So in those cases, the scripture indicates that leprosy is God's judgment for their sin. You're going to walk around as a permanent living reminder of what sin does to us. It isn't necessarily that every time someone has these symptoms, you know, a bad burn or a rash or psoriasis or mildew in your house, that God is judging you for some specific sin. That's not what's being said here. You know, take, for example, Job. Job was a good man. God calls him a good man. He's blameless and upright. God challenges Satan, find anything wrong with him. You can't. And yet God authorized Satan to afflict Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, to touch his bone and flesh so that even his wife despised him. So Job's skin disease and what happens because of it, this relational disintegration, that was not God's punishment. It was God arranging a meeting with Job. It was God arranging for Job to come to know God in resurrection glory. That's what you see in the book of Job. So here in Leviticus, leprosy is not necessarily evidence of someone's personal sin, right? But it is definitely evidence of sin. It's definitely a reminder of the sin of our whole race. It's the sin that lies at the root of everything that is wrong with this world. If there's something wrong with this world, it's because of our sin. Apart from our sin, there'd be no disease like this. There'd be no relational disintegration. There'd be no death. These things do not belong and are not allowed in the paradise of God's presence. But human beings brought them into the world through our rebellion against God. Our first parents sinned, corrupted their very nature, their flesh, and that corruption has infected every one of their descendants. So there's something wrong with all of us. It's not just them. It's us, deep down inside, body and soul, something wrong that we've contracted from our first parents. There's a spreading rot in the roots of our humanity, and it contaminates everything it touches. So the leper's whole life was ruined because of the uncleanness of his flesh. He had to live in isolation. He must live alone outside the camp. And he has to warn others Don't come near me. It's a picture of a terrible loneliness and isolation, a complete separation from God and from other people that is the consequence of what is wrong with us deep down inside. Having a touch of leprosy in your skin, in your clothing, in your house makes you unclean. And you would make others unclean by touching them. You'd make them unfit for communion with the God, the holy God of life. So the leper, whose skin was failing to cover his flesh, had to tear his garments, kind of like his skin had been torn, to signify that living death. He had to warn others to keep their distance. On the opposite end of this spectrum, you know, here's somebody whose body's fallen apart and his garments and everything, and he's in isolation and can't come near to God or to the people. On the opposite end of the spectrum is Moses, the skin of his face shining gloriously from being in the blessed presence of God. So in the same way, the spreading rot of sin in our flesh is what makes us who we are, and it causes the breakdown of our relationships. That flesh needs to be cleansed. It needs to be healed and covered in glory if we're going to be restored to right relationship with God, if we're going to belong, actually belong in the paradise of God's presence. And only God can do that. Only God can heal what's wrong with us. So this is implied throughout these chapters here in Leviticus. There is no prescription for the treatment of leprosy here. There's no treatment offered. This is not a treatment plan. There's a lot of instructions for diagnosis. And that's all we can be expected to do. The priest checks the symptoms. If it's leprosy, yeah, sorry, you're unclean. And if the leprous disease is healed, then you come back to the priest for confirmation, for a new declaration that now, hey, great news, you're clean. But there's no prescription for that process, for the healing. Nothing you can do to make the problem of your flesh go away. Nothing you can do to reverse the spreading rot. Nothing you can do to fix what's wrong with you deep down inside. It's like Paul says in Romans 7 when he's lamenting the ongoing, as a Christian, the ongoing reality of sin in his flesh, crying out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" That's the leper's cry. Only God can heal what's wrong with us. And the wonderful thing is, it's been his intention to do that all along. From the very first, when he clothed the man and woman in garments of skins, in Genesis, through these chapters of Leviticus, as he gives these instructions for restoration, throughout the scriptures, ultimately in the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has revealed that he is willing to make us clean. We heard about it in our gospel reading, which Max read from Luke 5. While Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. So this leper, he doesn't question whether Jesus can cleanse him from his leprosy. That much has been clearly demonstrated time and again throughout the Gospels in the power of Jesus to heal all our diseases, to fix anything and everything that is wrong with people. Jesus can do that. Fix anything and everything that is wrong with us. After the healing, Jesus instructs the leper to go to the priest for a proof. For a proof to them that, you know, that thing that only God can do? Jesus did that. Jesus is the Lord. He's the one who answers prayers. He is the only one who can do anything about what is so wrong with us. And this leper professes faith. "Lord, you can make me clean. If you will." God can. Jesus can. The only question is, if he will. Is he willing? Look, this leper, he shouldn't be in the city here. He should be alone outside the camp so his rot doesn't spread to others, because that's what happens. Your rot spreads to others. Definitely no one should touch him, but the language here is emphatic. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be clean." Leviticus makes it clear, you touch what's unclean, it makes you unclean. Touching the leper is supposed to contaminate Jesus and make him unclean, but instead, Jesus' glorious cleanness spreads to the leper, making him clean. So Jesus is not repulsed by everything that's wrong with this guy. He has compassion on him. He wills his cleansing. He wants that. He has power to make the man clean, and he reaches out and he touches him and he does it. What is right with Jesus spreads and covers and heals what's wrong with us. We all have a touch of leprosy on the skin of our flesh, a spreading rot that means death and an end to all our relationships. But Jesus has reached out and touched us in his love, in his renewing love. Our sin didn't corrupt him deep down inside. Right? On the contrary, his righteousness has restored us. We're falling apart, disintegrating and dying body and soul. And now, because of Jesus, our corrupt human nature, our sinful flesh, that actually doesn't define our reality anymore. It doesn't define our life. His glorious nature defines our reality. His resurrection life defines our life. His touch heals what only God can heal. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus heals everything that's wrong with us. Most importantly, most essentially, our relationship with God. He came to make us clean, to bring us back from our isolation, so that we belong in the paradise of God's presence. He came to clothe us in garments that will never wear out, in his own everlasting righteousness, to cover our sins. At the cross, we reached out, we touched him, and our sin and our uncleanness somehow transferred to him. He took our impurity on himself, and he did that willingly so that his purity, his cleanness, his right relationship with God could be ours. In Leviticus, the priest is the one who declares the reality of cleanness or uncleanness. In Christ, we have a great high priest who has declared us clean once and for all. In spite of the fact that we've still all got stuff wrong with us in our flesh. This is something Paul talks about. Sin in our flesh is a real thing that we will face throughout this life. But Jesus has declared us clean in spite of that. We have to go to this priest. We have to accept his declaration. He is ordained to help you, to bring you to God. His merciful declaration defines your reality. And it defines your relationship with God. So in this world, you know, we might still suffer illness and death. That's a reality all around us and in us. But Jesus has already proclaimed you clean. And he has guaranteed complete healing in the resurrection. He's guaranteed it. By his own resurrection, he's shown us what we can expect, what we can hope for with complete assurance. He will remove every trace of what is wrong with you, body and soul. He will remove that old flesh and give you his spirit, his own spirit, so that the stuff that you're made of will be the very stuff that he's made of. He'll remake you in his glorious image so that you perfectly belong in the paradise of God's holy presence. He's committed his life, his death, his resurrection, his whole eternity to that promise because he loves you and he wants you to be with him where he is. So who will deliver us from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, you took our true illness, our true disease, our sin, our condemnation upon yourself to bring us peace with God. By your wounds, we are healed. We thank you for having mercy on us. We come to you for true healing, for the perfect healing of everything wrong with the world, everything wrong with our lives because of our sin. keep your healing love before us for our joy, and help us to love other lowly, despised, nobody, leper-type people who have nothing to offer you, because we've had nothing to offer you, and yet you've loved us with a great love. Help us to love others with your own love, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.